to your seats. Get your Bibles out. We're going to go to Genesis, the 22nd chapter, to begin reading tonight. But let's pray over your gifts as you've come and given your gifts to the Lord tonight. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity always to sow seed and to bring our tithes and our offerings into the house of the Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll meet the need of your people. Lord, we pray, Father, that in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will just supply every need in every person's life in this place tonight. And God, that you will cause your heavens to open to them and that you will pour out a blessing, Lord, that they'll not be able to contain. And so, God, we are thankful, Father, for your supply. And God, we just give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, guys, it is good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. Listen, I do want to mention, you know, on your departure at the back table, we have some flyers for the Paul Bradford meeting next Sunday. If you could take several of them, we'd like for them all to go. And that way, people you may know, or just put them wherever you may be during the week and just invite people to come and be a part of the meeting, because I really believe it's going to be a powerful, powerful time. And remember, we're going to be doing two services, Sunday morning at 10 and then Sunday night at 5. And so make plans to be with us, because I really believe that God is going to do something great. Well, we're going to go to Genesis 22, verse 15 as we start tonight. And I promise you, well, I'm not going to promise you. I'm going to try to not be too lengthy, so hallelujah. I know we got a late start and because of the accident that happened out front. But we're going to go to Genesis 22, verse 15. We've been talking about the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, let me just mention this. The Bible studies that we have ongoing, we have three of them that are active. And so we want you to avail yourself to those. It's really a blessing. But another one Friday at Trudy's house, Lowry's the teacher. Lowry is a great teacher. I don't know if you've ever listened to Lowry, but I'm telling you, he is a great, great teacher. And you will be blessed. I mean, he teaches verse by verse. And it's just really, really rich. And, you know, a lot of times I sit there and I go, man, how did he get all that stuff out of that verse? You know, but it's really, really good. So if you're free Friday, go to, you know, get the card in the back. Directions are there, address, phone numbers, and you can call. Trudy's a gracious host, and you'll enjoy the fellowship. And but I know you'll be blessed by the ministry that takes place that night. Amen. So anyway, Genesis 22, verse 15. Let's read this. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son. And remember, this is the end of the story in regards to Abraham offering up Isaac. Okay, Abraham offering up Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 15. Verse 17, the Lord says, because Abraham was obedient. Everybody say obedient. Obedience is really a big deal to God. Amen. So we have to learn how to be obedient to the Lord. Abraham wasn't. Listen to what God says. He says, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sands which are upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I want to read verse 17 again, because it's very powerful. We're talking about the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. Come on, we're the church. Hallelujah. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It says, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sands which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate. I'm going to say that again. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen. So here God tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, listen, because you have obeyed me, he said, I'm going to bless you. Amen. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. He said, not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to multiply you. Hallelujah. And he says, not only I'm going to multiply you, but your seed are going to possess Your seed are going to possess. That word possess means to occupy. Actually, in the Hebrew, it means to disinherit. In other words, to devour. It's the idea of to expel. He says, your seed is going to expel and it's going to possess the gate of the enemies. It says, and thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 18. And we've been reading from this portion of scripture, and I want to read it again tonight. Matthew 16, verse 18. Everybody say, God is a good God. Hallelujah. Amen. And here it says, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, Jesus speaking. He said, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against who? Against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's the same picture in regards to what the Lord told Abraham in regards to his seed, that his seed was going to possess the gates of the enemy. And so here Jesus says, and you, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, the church. It says, and I will give unto thee the keys. Everybody say keys. Keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall bind, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Gates. In these scriptures, it talks about gates. I don't know, so we've been talking about the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. You know, during Christ's time as well as in the Old Testament, gates had a special significance. And gates gave you access into cities. Gates gave you access into regions and actually into kingdoms. Gates. Jesus talked about gates. The Lord talked to Abraham about gates. Okay? Through gates, you are given entrance or and we're able to connect with those regions or those kingdoms. Okay? In other words, through gates, you were able to either exit or to enter. Okay? A city or a kingdom. Okay? So gates were used to control a city or a kingdom. Gates. We're just going to touch on this real briefly tonight, okay? So through the main gate of a city, you can control who actually had access into the city. I know our nation's struggling with borders and gates and stuff like that, but gates are important, okay? I'm glad that that man had a gate where that dog was. Because he was barking up a storm, amen? And if he didn't have a gate, an offense that kept him in, he would have got out. All right? How many have ever encountered a dog like that? How many were glad for the gate? I was glad for the gate. Hallelujah. So gates are important. I just wanted to get a picture how important gates can be, okay, to us. So gates have the power to control access. All right? In other words, the word control just simply means to have the power over something or to be in charge, or to be able to run, okay? And so the Lord talked about the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against us. In other words, they're not going to run our life, okay? And so we have to understand. Psalms 118, verse 19 says, open to me the gates of the righteous, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. So here it talks about gates again. And so I just want to get this into our spirits tonight. If anything else, I just want us to understand that there are gates, okay, that you and I need to understand in regards to the kingdom, okay? Because when we begin to understand what the Lord says in regards to gates, that they give us access and entrance into things, but they also are able to keep things out, okay, and deny things access. All right. And so when Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, I was thinking, okay, because, you know, a lot of times you just think of hell. Okay. We think of hell. You know, we think of flames. We think of, you know, that place in the center of the earth, because that's where hell is right now. It's in the center of the earth. Okay. Hades. Okay. We think of Hades. The gates of Hades will not prevail against us. So we kind of think of those gates being down there, okay? But we need to understand that how many know hell has been released in the earth? How many know there's a devil and there are demonic spirits and there are demons that are trying to gain access, gain control over the people of our generation, even over the people in the church? And so we need to understand that there are gates that Satan uses to try to deny us access. Okay? And so Jesus said the gates of hell, not necessarily the gates of Hades in the sense of the gate that's down there, okay? But he's talking about gates that evidently the enemy sets up in our life to try to keep us from being able to experience the fullness and the blessings of the Lord. That the gates that the devil uses against the church and the people of God, they're not going to prevail against us. Okay, so we need to understand gates. Okay, because Jesus talked about gates. The Lord talked about gates, okay, to Abraham. All right, in Psalms it says, open wide the gates of the righteous, and I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. The gates of the Lord into the which the righteous shall enter. Revelations 22 verse 13 says, and I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commands, that they may have right to the tree of life, and that they may enter in through the gates into the city. So evidently the kingdom of God has gates, all right? And so we can enter through those gates, but it says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. It says they're not going to enter through the gate. Gates were used as a place of authority, a gate, and actually where judicial decisions were made, okay? So at the gate is where authority is. In other words, you can't come through my gate. Did you get the picture? In other words, that's where a place of authority, and that's what we're talking about, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. In other words, you and I, we have authority, amen? So we have to understand gates, because sometimes we may leave the gate open. Huh? Sometimes we can leave the gate open. Enemy can have access into us. And then sometimes the enemy will set up gates of his own on our stuff to keep us from being able to accessing what God's promised to you and I. And those gates are not to prevail against us. But sometimes we don't even recognize those gates that have been used to keep us from being able to be all who we are to be in Christ. And so gates were used as a place of authority. In other words, places where there was judicial decisions made, okay? In other words, at the gate is where the leaders and those who were kings gave authority to hand down judicial decisions at the gates, okay? And so we have to learn to recognize the gates. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, it says, and if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when he hath chastened him, he will not hearken unto them, then his father and his mother will lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of the city and unto the gates of his place. And so it's talking about the gates of being a place where judicial decisions were set forth. And that's why I'm reading this scripture, okay? And they shall say to the elders of the city, that our son is stubborn and rebellious, will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. My word. Verse 21, it says, and the men of the city issued a decision. Here it says they stoned him with stones. Hallelujah. Well, not hallelujah, but you know what I'm saying. In other words, the decision was made. Why? Because that's what took place at the gates. See, I'm just trying to get us to see that there are gates in the natural that we know of, but there are gates in the spirit that we have to recognize as sons and daughters of God so that we can begin to operate in what Jesus said that we're to operate as the church, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And as the church, learn how to possess the gate of the enemy. Okay? Gates were a place where business flowed at the gates. You know, when you read in the Old Testament and you look at all the different even in the New Testament. In other words, it was a place where commerce took place, or trade. In other words, business contracts were made, witnessed at the gates. Why? Because that's where the place of authority was. That's where the elders sat. Okay? Marketplaces were usually set up at the entrance of gates. Jeremiah 17:19 says, "Thus says the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and all the gates of Jerusalem." So here we see in the scripture, it refers to gates, that they knew that that was the place where kings passed. Kings came in, kings went out, okay? There's a place where business flowed. I want to see God's business flow through us. Amen? The blessings of the Lord overtake us. But I realize what happens sometimes. Sometimes the enemy has set up gates that we've not recognized. And we're going to learn and recognize these. You know, Jesus himself was referred to himself as a gateway. He said, "I'm the door." Didn't Jesus say that? He said, I'm the door. In John 10, verse 7 says, it says, "And Jesus said, and verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Now, I want you to just take note of this, because Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, the kingdom of God, you can enter into it, and you can come out of it, okay? And that we could see it. So he was talking. Here Jesus is saying, I am the door, okay? And he says, "And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly." Amen? So I guess, guys, what I'm trying to get us to see tonight is that we have to set a guard. Because listen, whether you realize it or not, you have gates. We got to set a guard over the gates of our lives. In other words, we need to use our authority as sons of God, amen, and guard our gates, amen. I don't know if you know this, but the Bible refers to, I know you know this. The Bible refers to you and I as a city. Doesn't it say that? I mean, you read it in Matthew 5, verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world." Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "You're the light of the world." Hallelujah. In fact, he goes on further and he says, "You're a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid." He says, you're actually a city. Amen. I know he was referring to us because we need to understand that with the city, there are gates that allow entrance in and allow entrance out. Okay? Access in. Deny access in or deny access out. And so we have to understand that we are the light of the world. We are a city that is set upon the hill. So you and I, we are referred to as a city that is ruled by a kingdom. How many of you and I are a city? You're your own little, how many know the United States has lots of cities? Come on, we have lots of cities. You know, I'm from the city, originally from the city of Araby, okay? Chalmette, you know, Slidell, Pearl River, Wiggins. I mean, all over. There's all kinds of cities all over the United States, but there's one United States, but there's many cities. Okay? And those cities have places of authority in those cities. I mean, those cities have places of authority. They have gates. In other words, they have access points into those cities. And we have to understand, you are referred to as a city, okay, that is ruled by a kingdom. Jesus said in John 17:21, and I'm just trying to get us to see this tonight because I want us to understand gates. Okay? The importance of learning how to possess our gates so that we don't let the enemy come in and set up his own gates in our life and keep us from being able to experience what God wants us to experience as sons of God. Amen. Luke 17:21 says, "Neither say, lo here," he's talking about the king, "or lo there," because the disciples were asking him, "Well, Lord, where is the kingdom?" He said, "Listen, the kingdom is within you." He said, not only you are a city, but there is a kingdom that has rule over your city. Okay? And so what we have to do is we got to guard it. We got to guard our city. Amen? We got to guard our gates. All right? Otherwise, we need to keep it safe from danger, from harm. We got to watch over it. We got to make sure that we keep control over it. Amen? We don't want somebody else influencing or running or ruling over our city. Amen? I'm talking about you. Okay? Now, how many know we have different gates? And let me just touch this real briefly tonight. And one of the gates that we need to guard is our ear gate. I don't know if you have looked at your ear as a gate, but your ear is a gate. How many know you can close your gate? How many wives have experienced this from your husbands? They've closed their gates, okay? And they didn't hear what you said, okay? Or we could open our gate and we can hear what is being said, okay? But we have to understand, we have to set a guard over our gate. Mark 4, verse 23, Jesus talked about this. And he said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. It says, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. In other words, what you give audience to. It's the idea, what you allow yourself to comprehend and to understand. In other words, your perception of things. He says, if any man hear, let him hear. He says, take heed what you hear. With the measure with you measure, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So in other words, he's saying, okay, you have to learn how to hear certain things. All right? For he that hath, to him it shall be given, and him that hath not shall be taken away even which he hath. So we have to understand that we got to guard our ear gate. How many have ever been in the company of somebody and they were talking and they were just kind of, you know, negative, you know, they weren't positive about anything. It was always, woe is me. And you left them feeling weighed down. You left them feeling, you know what I'm talking about? Feeling like something got on you, and that it affected you. And the reason why is because your gate, you had it opened, and you gave audience to things in which you should have closed off. Okay? And sometimes we don't realize, but what the enemy will do, he'll set up gates in our life, in our city, that causes us to not be able to go out or to step into what God has said because we've heard something else that actually set up a gate in our life. Does that make sense? In other words, what we've given audience to, we didn't guard our gate, and all of a sudden the enemy has put something, and all of a sudden now we're battling doubt, we're battling unbelief. Because there's been something that we didn't even realize was set up. Now it is operating as a gate to keep us from being able to operate or reach out and walk in faith and believe God for whatever we're believing God for in regards to his promises. Okay? And so we have to understand, the gates of hell shall not do what? Prevail against us. All right? If we do what? If we guard our gates. Why? Because we're a city. Okay? We're a city that's ruled by a kingdom. Amen. You and I are now sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. And his kingdom dwells within us. And so, as been given authority, how many know he's given to us authority? Christ has given to us authority. It says, as many as believe unto him, to them gave he power to become what? Sons of God. Okay. Why did he give us that authority? Why? So that we can possess our gates. So that we can guard our city. Amen. Not only this city in the natural, but this city here in which the kingdom of God dwells. We're to guard our city. Because listen, we'll have no effect in this city if we can't guard this city. Okay? And so we have to set a guard over our ear gate. We have to set a guard over our eye gate. Okay? Matthew 6:22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, if you guard your eye, make sure it doesn't wander, okay? It says, but if thine eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. In other words, our eye, which is a gate, it can either let darkness in or it can let light in. Just depends on what we keep our eyes looking at. And if I'm always looking at, you know, things on television that are R-rated and you know, promiscuous and, you know, all that stuff, you know, and that my gate is open and allowing that into my life, then what's going to happen? It's going to cause darkness to fill my life. And so I have to guard my eye gate. Why? So that light fills me. You have to guard your mouth gate. I mean, your mouth is a gate. Psalms 141, verse 3 says this. It says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. He says, God, help keep the door, keep my gate, keep my mouth shut, Lord. So we need to understand we got to guard our mouths in regards to what our mouth says. Amen. And then we got to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we got to guard our hearts. We got to guard our mouths. We got to guard our eyes. We got to guard our ears. Why? Because all of those are gates in which the enemy will try to access. He'll try to get a hold of your mouth. He wants you to speak unbelief. He wants you to say things that are contrary to the will and the truth of God's word. He wants you to come in agreement with darkness. Amen. He wants your eyes to dwell on things that are going to not cause you to receive light, but are going to cause you to receive darkness. He wants you to be full of darkness. He wants your ears. He wants you to begin hearing things and giving audience to things that's going to damage your ability to walk by faith. Because he does not, listen, the devil knows that if we guard our gates, and because there's a kingdom inside of us that's run by a king, in whom you and I are now sons and daughters of, that we walk with authority over the powers of the enemy. And the gates of hell will not prevail over us. Amen? So understand, you know, possessing the gate of our enemy, which we're talking a little bit tonight about, is that you have to understand and recognize that, you know, God's got an agenda. Okay? Mark 1 verse 15 says this, says, Jesus began speaking. He says, the time is fulfilled. There's a kairos time, a set time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. He says, repent and believe the gospel. Listen, there's two things that you and I need right now in our life, okay? In other words, just to be vamped up in us. Number one is God needs us to think differently. He just needs us to think differently. And that's when he said to the people there, he says, repent and believe the gospel. He says, listen, that word repent is the idea of to think differently or to reconsider. It's the idea, you got to think about sin differently. We can't entertain sin any longer. Amen? We got to think about sin differently. We got to think about God differently. We need to believe that God is a big God. Amen? That God is able to do anything. Amen? There's nothing impossible for him. Sometimes we just put so much limit on God. Why? Because we're not thinking the way God wants us to think. And I said, well, Lord, how come there's times, I said, God, I know your word. You know, I've read your word hundreds of times. How come sometimes, you know, I got to just kind of readjust my thinking? And he said, Chuck, listen, this is what's happened. You've allowed the enemy at times to set up a gate that's affecting your ability to believe in. And you have been given authority that the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. I said, okay, I kind of get it. So in other words, you and I, we have authority over those. I got to recognize it. And I got to say, Satan, you're not going to put a gate to keep me from believing that my God is a big God. You're not going to give me, you're not going to deny me access from believing that God is able to do anything. That there is nothing impossible for him. So listen, when you have a question, you have a doubt, and you have an unbelief that rises up in your spirit, in your heart, you need to understand what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to create a gate to keep you from being able to enter into the things of God. And the gates of hell, the Bible says that they're not supposed to prevail against us. Amen? And so what we have to do, we have to think differently about God. We have to think differently about ourselves. Now, I talk to Christians a lot, you know, a lot, and a lot of times Christians are their worst critics. I mean, they look at themselves and feel like they're failures, feel like they've missed the mark, and that God doesn't love them and that God doesn't care about them. They don't know how to get themselves up, and da-da-da-da. It goes on and on and on. And we need to think differently about ourselves. I'm a child of God. Do I occasionally at times need to repent of things that I've done? Yeah. But I'm a child of God. God loves me. God is for me, is not against me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I've been born again. I've been washed in the blood. I've been redeemed by the blood. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation in Christ. Come on, I got to think differently than what the enemy will try to get you to think. And if you're thinking contrary to that truth, then you need to understand there's a gate that's trying to cause you or deny you access into the kingdom of God. Because where is the kingdom? The kingdom is inside of you. So what the devil tries to do, he tries to set up gates in your city. He does not have right to set up gates in your city. He does not have authority to set up a gate in your city. The only authority that he has to do that is when you just allow him to. And we got to deny him that. Amen? We got to think differently about others. Come on, God said that everybody in this room, how many of you, all of us are Christians in this room? Come on, I believe all of us in this room are Christians. Guys, you know what? We're to love one another. I'm not to have an ought against any of you. You're not to have an ought against me. Amen? We're to love. Why? Because that's how they're going to know that we're his disciples, Evans, if we love one another. Amen? And so we have to think differently in regards to each other. Because listen, again, pastor has these opportunities to talk to other Christians, you know? And there's a lot of times there are some people that don't want to be around other people, and those people are Christians just like they're Christians. I'm like, how does that work? How can that happen? How can you hate that brother or that sister in the Lord if you're a Christian and they're a Christian? There's a gate. Come on, I want you to get this. There's a gate that has been set up by the enemy that keeps them from being able to see that brother and sister as a child of God and someone in whom God says that you're to love and that they're to love you. Amen? We've got to pull that gate down. I say, no, I'm not going to let that gate stand there. I'm going to love that person. Regardless if they love you back, I'm going to, because listen, they may have a gate too. And if we all let our gates, you know, get possessed by the enemy, and he's setting up these little gates in our city, and then what happens? All of a sudden, we become a dysfunctional church. And so we got to pull those things down and be who Christ has called us to be. Amen? And so we even got to think differently about the devil. He's not really all that big stuff. Remember we talked about that the other week? He's not that big of a deal. We make him a big deal. Why? Because he's put up a gate. If you're making the devil a big deal, it's because there's a gate that he has had access to set up, either through your ear gate, through your eye gate, through your mouth gate, through your heart. He has set up a gate that's blocking you from seeing who he really is. Because when we see him, doesn't the Bible say this, Larry, that when we see him, we're going to say, is this him that deceived the nations? It's going to be like, come on, are you serious? That we allowed him into our families? We allowed him into our lives? We allowed him to rob us of the blessings of God? We allowed him to have authority over our life when he had no authority? We got to think of him differently. So Jesus said, and this was his agenda, he said, listen, we got to think differently. He says, repent. He says, we got to think differently. And then he said, and we got to believe the gospel. Two things. We got to think differently. And number two, guys, we need to believe. Come on, we need to believe. And we have to have faith in God. We've got to believe God and his word above everything else in life. Amen? Mark 11, 22 says, and Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, and be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he's going to have whatever he says. I mean, Jesus wants us to believe the message that he's brought to us. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. He wants us to believe that message that he's brought to us. That the church is going to be victorious and is victorious. Amen? That we are a triumphant church. Hallelujah. Guys, God's got purpose for us. Amen? Listen, God's looking to take us to places in the natural for the purpose of revealing his kingdom. He's wanting us to show us his kingdom. Amen? I mean, there's a kingdom purpose for your neighborhood. Listen, when I take a wrong turn and I'm someplace I'm not really usually at, I say, God, there's a purpose. I want to see the purpose. I do. I say, Lord, if it's just for me to pray for somebody, you know, whether it's physically pray for them or just, you know, pray for them, somebody that you put in my vision or someone that you put in my gaze, God, I believe there's a purpose. Amen? And guys, so we need to understand God has a purpose for us. But what happens, the enemy tries to set these gates up. He tries to set these gates up to keep us from being able to be who God's called us to be. It may be a gate of fear. It may be a gate of rejection. It may be a gate of disappointment. Come on, it may be a gate of just despair. It may be a gate of fatigue in your life. It could be a gate of torment. I mean, there's hundreds of gates that Satan will try to use in people's lives. And we just got to recognize them. We just need to see them for what they are. Amen? And so understand, for a gate to be opened, and I'm getting ready to close. It usually requires a key, password, gatekeeper, whatever you want to call it. But there's usually something that's necessary to be able to open the gate. You know, I've been to some places where I had to work, and I get to the gate, and there's a code there. And it's like, unless I have the code, I'm not going in, you know? So I need the code, okay? Ezekiel 44, verse 11 says this, says, yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers in the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifices for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. So understand, number one, that God's called you and I to be gatekeepers. Amen? God's called you and I to be gatekeepers. Ezekiel 44, verse 17. And it shall be, whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. Verse 23 of Ezekiel 44. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Now, we have to understand that as gatekeepers of our own lives, we've got to guard our ears, we've got to guard our eyes, we've got to guard our mouths, we've got to guard our hearts, okay? But not only are you a gatekeeper for yourself, I don't know if you realize this, but there's people that look to you. Come on, all of us in this room, there's not one person with an exception. There are people that look to you, okay? And whether you realize it or not, but we become gatekeepers because that's what God's called us to. He's called us to be gatekeepers to the people. Not only are we to be gatekeepers for our own city, okay, but we're also to be gatekeepers for those around us, amen? And so we have to understand, this is one of the things. Jesus said that you will receive the keys to the kingdom. And one of the keys to the kingdom is just truth. Truth. Truth's necessary for possessing the gate of the enemy. Okay? In other words, it's revealed. Truth is revealed to those who are hungry. And guys, we just have to get hungry for God. more than we've ever been in this generation. I don't know if you know this, but Satan operates by lies. In other words, he operates by that which is false. Okay? God operates by truth. In other words, Satan comes with lies, with delusions, with deception, with misrepresentation, with misunderstandings, ignorance. And those are the keys that he uses to lock the gates. How many have had an issue with somebody? And then come to find out it was just a misunderstanding. But there was a gate that was locked. You didn't talk to them. They didn't talk to you. There was hurt on your side. There was hurt on their side. And the devil wanted more than anything to keep that gate closed. Because he knows one can put 1,000 in flight. Two can put 10, especially if it's a Christian. Okay? He wants to keep that gate closed. But see, that's how he operates. He operates by lies, by delusions, by deception, by misrepresentation. Why? Because he's wanting to set up gates. But we're gatekeepers. Come on, we've got to realize we're gatekeepers. We have a bigger key than he has. Huh? Come on, we got a bigger key than he has. We got what's called the master key. We can open any gate. Come on, you listen to me. We can open any gate. You're like locksmiths. Doesn't matter what lock has been put on a gate, you can open the lock. Why? Because you're sons and daughters of God. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. We're gatekeepers. Amen. So understand, truth is necessary for possessing the gates of the enemy. If we're going to pull down those gates, if we're going to open those gates that Satan's tried, it's going to require truth. That's the master key. That's the master key. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Amen. We need truth. God's waiting for moments to reveal secret things to us. To who does he do that to? To those that are hungry. I ask the Lord all the time, God, show me stuff. Is it okay to ask him like that? God, just show me stuff. I don't care what it is, show me stuff. It doesn't have to be like a heavy revy, okay? Come on, we're always looking for that heavy revy, you know what I'm saying? I said, God, just show me stuff. I like God just to show me stuff. And sometimes I'm out at the house or wherever I'm at, and I see something, and it's like, wow. And he says, God, you're awesome. God, you're awesome. Man, look how magnificent this is. You know, just a leaf. You know, me and Jude, we've been monitoring a little bird nest. So every time he comes over, he's got to go look at the bird nest. You know, and so we go look at the bird nest, and you know, at first the little birds didn't have, eggs at first, and now there are little birds in there, and they didn't have any, just skin, and you could see the heartbeat, beating. You know, we're looking at it, I'm going, God, you're amazing. Isn't that amazing? You know? I said, Lord, thank you. Lord, you answered my prayer. You revealed something to me. You revealed your greatness, your majesty, your glory, God. You know, sometimes the enemies put gates to where we don't see that stuff. The greatness of who God is. The greatness of who we serve. I said, Lord, I'm pulling down every gate that the enemy tries to set up in my life. Why? Because, Lord, man, I want to walk in the fullness of who you are. Amen? God, I want to think differently. Come on. I want to think differently. Amen? God, I want to believe. But what stops that? Satan's always trying to put gates up. Always trying to put gates up. But I have the truth, which is the key to open any gate. Come on, Satan doesn't have the power to keep that gate on you. He doesn't have the power to keep the gate of fear on you. He doesn't have the power to keep that gate of rejection on you. He doesn't have the power to keep that gate of despair and discouragement upon you. He doesn't have the power to keep that gate of depression upon you. I mean, you got the power to open that gate with truth. Amen? So God's just waiting for a moment to reveal truth to us. You know what I've learned? Jeremiah 33:3. Ask me. You know, sometimes we have not because we ask not. And he said, ask me, and I'm reading out the Living Bible. He said, ask me, and I will tell you something, some remarkable secrets about what is going to happen here. God said, ask me, and I will reveal to you remarkable secrets of what is going to happen here. He'll reveal to you what's going to happen in your city. I'm talking about this city. He's going to reveal to you what will happen in this city, this natural city that you and I are part of. Well, guys, we got to ask, because I'm telling you, the master key to unlock every gate is truth. And you shall know the truth. That's why it says that. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall do what? Set you free. Set you free from what? Set you free. From what? The gates that Satan has tried to erect in your life. It's the truth that sets you free. That's the master key. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and you will be given what you've asked for. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open unto you. Amen. Listen, to get a revelation of a needed truth in your life, it requires intimacy with the Lord. It requires intimacy with the Lord. You ever been with somebody, a friend or a loved one, you know, kind of fellowshipping with them, you know, and all of a sudden, as the more you fellowship with them, the more stuff you learn? Isn't that true? The more you fellowship with them, the more stuff you learn. Now, with family and friends, some stuff you may not want to learn, but you get it anyway. But I'm talking about with the Lord. The more you fellowship with him, the more you spend intimacy with him, the more you learn. The more he just reveals to you. He wants to reveal to you the secret things. Amen. Why does he want you to, just so that we know? No. He wants you to reveal those secret things so that there will be no gate that will be able to close off your city. Why? Because you are not only a city, but there's a kingdom that's inside of you. And to be able to access the kingdom, you can't have your city closed off. Amen? Let's stand.